Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Business leaders need employees who are engaged and innovative and who love to come to work on a Monday morning. Employees need leaders who understand the best way to craft a work culture worth showing up for. Rachel Headley and Meg Mankey are senior partners in Rose Group International. It's a consultant firm that specializes in designing what they call exceptional internal experiences for organizations. Their new book is called IX Leadership, and they join us now from the Sue W. White Studio in Spearfish. Meg, welcome back. Thanks for coming back.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Dr. Headley, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's start with a little bit of a background, and then what I'm hoping you can each tell us a little bit about, you know, how you met and sort of what that brings to this sort of concept of helping organizations with leadership from a really distinctly South Dakota viewpoint in many ways. Meg, you go first, please.
Yeah. So Rachel and I have been sort of swimming in the same circles for a lot of years now in Spearfish, and started visiting and commiserating about, the way business is being done and how people are treated, and then, you know, expected to stay engaged, but really they're not being treated like they should want to stay engaged. And so anyway, we started talking about that and said, hey, you know, I think we're smart enough to fix this problem. So we set to it.
And Rachel, a little bit about you, please, because you have an interesting science background as well.
Yeah, my PhD is actually in geography, which is not sort of the normal discipline that one might associate with leadership. But I actually got my start at Aeros, north of Sioux Falls, Aeros Data Center. And I started into science there, and that's a really big organization. It has about 700 people out there. And I really got, early on in my science career, got an understanding of different leadership styles and seeing which teams would excel and which teams would struggle. And a lot of that had to do with the decisions that the leaders were making. And so that really got me really curious about how to actually bring up people that were really disengaged, or how do you take great employees and make them a high-performing team. And so I really got kind of started nerding out about the intellectual side of how you do leadership in a way that builds your people.
Right, and everybody has a bad day, and every organization has some people who, you know, maybe are not quite measuring up to the standards. But overall, how big of a problem is employee disengagement? How expensive is it, for example?
Well, we could do a whole nother segment on the cost. Right. But, you know, the statistics show that 70% of the workforce is disengaged. So that's a pretty big problem. And that's not one that you can, you know, look at the neighboring organization across the street or, you know, to your competitors and say, oh, gee, you have a problem. That's definitely impacting everyone, whether you're publicly traded or privately held. And we see a lot of the same issues and the same things come up from high tech startups all the way to, you know, grandfathered and well manicured systems in a manufacturing organization. So it's rampant would be my answer.
And here's one of the things that really struck home to me as I was reading this is, you know, it's one thing to look at the economics of it, which is significant, but for the employees themselves who are disengaged, you know, this is your life. You're spending most of your waking hours are really at work. So it's pretty urgent for those who kind of don't want to show up in the morning and are sort of floating through their days or stressed out during their days as well.
Yeah, for sure. One of our goals next year for 2019 is to change 1,000 lives.
A million
lives.
Yeah, well on our way. We've surpassed that.
Yeah, a million lives. And it's not only to change how people go to work and be supported, because if you can imagine, 70% of us are really not super excited to go to work every day. And imagine what that does to us at home. And so imagine if we could actually make that many people's lives better. That's going to totally bleed over into our church, into our family, into our social networks.
Yeah, and to jump ahead in the book a little bit, but there's also this notion of, the stories that we tell ourselves that that's just work. I mean, work is kind of supposed to suck. And we, many of us maybe heard that growing up as kids, that work was just something you had to do. And perhaps we didn't have an example of parents who, you know, were fully engaged in the workplace or who had employees who were fully engaged. So some of these are really rewriting some of those old narratives and believing that we're worth a little bit more.
Yeah, I would say too that we always try to make the distinction that we don't do group hugs. So we talk about improving people's lives, but not in a way that, you know, might be not working hard. Like we're South Dakotans, we know that you got to put in the time at work. It's not a thing that you just get to go and all be all smiles and drink coffee and not actually work. We want it to make it so that you can be the best you can be at work, and so you can perform at a level that you're proud of, that you're proud to stand next to the person next to you that's working just as hard as you are, and you're working for a boss that's working just as hard as you are. And so it's not about not working hard, because we're South Dakotans, we know that working hard is what differentiates us from a lot of other places. But it's how do we make that working hard really valuable and really make us feel proud about what we do every day.
Let's talk a little bit about these culture types, because I think most people are familiar with the idea of, you know, thinking about how you function, whether it's a personality type that you've taken a quiz before or done an evaluation before. This is a little bit different. Meg, walk us through sort of how to look at the culture types and sort of and why it's different than some of the personality types that focus internally on, you know, more of who you are outside the workplace.
Sure. So the culture types, the way that we've set them up is they really are a tool to measure and analyze an individual's work preferences. So how do you like your work environment, and what does that look like, and then what does it look like for you, and then as part of a team? So do you prefer order or do you prefer chaos? Those of us who are on the chaos end of the spectrum really actually call it freedom. and then do you prefer to work in a team environment first, or do you prefer to work alone first and then roll out to the team, or, you know, communicate with the team when you need to? And so those culture types don't look at your personality. An extrovert could live in any of the four culture types, and the four types are fixer, independent, stabilizer, and organizer. So an extrovert could live in any one of those quadrants, and we did crosswalk all of our IP with the Carl Jung-based archetypes, which are, you know, Myers-Briggs, DISC, the Colors Assessment, Social Styles Communication Quiz, the Gallup Strength Finders. And so we said all of that work was great, and it served us in the business community, even though we borrowed it from psychology. It served us really well for, you know, 30, 40 years, but we're not really hitting the mark in terms of how are we feeding our teams. You know, we focus so much on individual leaders that we forgot how to lead a team. And so that's what we really focus on with culture types is what are the work preferences on your team, and how do they feed into each other, and how do you leverage that energy for good and harness that to be productive?
And it's a pretty easy, I mean, as you read the book, and again, we're talking about the book IX Leadership. My guests today are Dr. Rachel Headley and Meg Mankey, authors of this book, and partners in Rose Group International. You can find them on Facebook as well. And there's an online quiz that you can go through, or you can just read the chapters, because I don't know, I didn't really have a hard time figuring out where I was in the culture type, although, as you point out in the book, in my role, I very often have to sort of behave like a different type, just because, you know, that's how I've learned how to sort of moderate those strong preferences, you know, in the workforce. So we all sort of cross back and forth with our duties. But once you find out sort of how a team functions, and you mentioned the types a little bit, talk about communicating. Just the simple act of communicating with those folks, and how you can have the same message but deliver it in slightly different ways to get buy-in from the different types on a team. It's a good example, I think.
Yeah, well, when we look at types in an organization, one example that is, I think, pretty easy to understand is we are working with a technology company, excuse me, who really had some organizers on the team, which they prefer to work on their own, and they're very organized. And then they had some folks on their team who are an independent, and they like that, like that freedom and that little bit of chaos in their day. And they also like to work on their own. But what happened is there was a client that needed something that was broken. And so what you would say is to an organizer, you would say, well, you go check out this client, look at the data, compile a report, do some analysis, and let me know what you think is really going on. If you have an independent who likes freedom and a little bit of chaos, they would think that is the worst job assignment ever. So what you would do for them is you'd say, hey, independent, why don't you go take a look at their website, give them a call, chat with their people, and then come back with some ideas about how we'd fix it. And so even though you're going to solve that problem in two different ways, you're still going to get a solution. But the people that are actually doing the work are going to respond very differently to the kind of things and the way that work is carried out. So one of the main things that we see a big difference is when we get people like the disconnect between leaders in an organization and say the top level managers, because those managers worry about their people and the executives worry about the company. And so that's another place where we see a lot of sort of disconnect between the leadership and the management of the organization. So that's another place we find a lot of disconnects.
Is it enough to understand your type and sort of, you know, how to communicate and what people's preferences are? In order to, you know, to sort of help things improve in a current role, or are you really looking at, you know, sometimes the role might have to be switched because someone just doesn't fit with the job that they have? And that might be you looking at yourself and saying, I just don't think this is going to do it for me as a job because I'm misplaced.
Yeah, I think from my many years in HR, I would have managers come and we'd do all kinds of counseling with this, you know, a specific employee because they weren't meeting the mark on performance levels or they weren't communicating well with the team that they were on. And so you do all the things that you have to do, due diligence to make sure you're supporting and loving for that employee the best way you can. But at the end of the day, whether you know your culture type or how the process of change works, what the culture types are, or the Myers-Briggs types, or, you know, whatever it is on your whole team, if you're not really in the right role that you're, that your soul loves, you're not going to be as good at it as you could be at something else. And so as an HR manager, a lot of times I would give the advice, you know, to the manager I was consulting with and even the employee. You know, it's really time. We've done everything we can. It's really time for you to decide as a human or the manager, if I was having the conversation with them, if this is the right job for the right person and vice versa. And I mean, the reality is sometimes we're not in the right roles, and especially, you know what, in rural parts of the world, i.e. South Dakota, i.e. Western South Dakota, sometimes you take the job that pays the bills, and that right. isn't always the job that's right for you. And so there are some nuances to it. Of course, we can't just tell everybody to go quit their job and, you know, start painting, there is some truth to that, but I will say, more often than not in our consulting work, we find that it's not that the people aren't aligned with the work; it's that they're not being communicated with appropriately, so that, you know, they're invited to the table and engaged with the team.
Right, and I found this whole concept of change initiatives and how they sort of go wrong and how they can go right particularly fascinating in the context of this book. So I'm wondering if you could expand a little bit for listeners on this notion that when you initiate a change at work, sometimes it seems as if some people take forever to, you know, to sort of come on board. Others are on board right away, and that maybe could even be predicted based on their culture type.
Yeah, I love this part. Change is where a lot of my real passion lies. I'm what we call a fixer, which is loving chaos. Mm-hmm. And I love to fix problems for people. I love to go into a company that is really struggling and helping them figure out what's wrong and then helping them fix it. And that just really makes me happy. But what I have to understand when I go into that company and help them fix it is that there's only some of those people that are willing and ready and excited about change. And there's most of us, 65% or so, really don't like change at all in any way whatsoever. And then we have to understand how that person moves through change. And that was so revelatory to me when I first learned about it, about how it's predictable Everything we go, every stage we go through is very predictable. We talk about that in the book. But even better, once you know your type, then you know how you go through that predictable transition. And there's some kind of secrets about if you're much more excited about chaos and you want to change things up all the time, and let's say your spouse or your family is less so, well, you want to honor them and you want to, and you love them and you want them to move along with you, but in a way that honors them and supports them. And so knowing how everyone kind of does that is really powerful, and understanding how long it's going to take for them to move through change, and it just helps you be much more patient, and certainly, at least, excuse me, from our perspective,
right?
Because we both like chaos, and right. So then we feel like we have to understand how everyone else is moving through that change.
Yes.
And then for folks that don't move through the change, we drive them crazy, and so it's important to know that about them too.
And that's one of the key insights from this book for me, is I'm an independent, you know, all the way, and I work with a stabilizer, although they haven't taken the quiz, but I can almost predict. I'm like, oh, that's why I drive them crazy, because of this.
Right?
This, and it's really, you know, you can really just read a chapter and sort of have some insight. But there's more than this to a chapter, or even the time we're going to have to talk today. So how can people engage? They can obviously buy the book. It's called IX Leadership. How can they engage with you when you say you want to change a million lives in 2019? You know, what does that look like, and how people can be a part of it?
Well, you can find us in lots of places online, because Rachel is a science nerd and a technology wizard, and so she has completely hooked us up. You can find us on our website, www.rosegroupintl.com, or on our other website, ixleadership.com, or you can buy the book online, which is in paperback and Kindle version, soon to be on Audible.
That's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you can just look on Amazon for IX Leadership. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever other
all the things
social media ridiculousness we can be on, you can find us there.
And our real goal.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, Lori. Our real goal is to have people come and actually get certified in IX Leadership, so then they can take it into their own organizations and help change their world on an individual basis. And that's how we're really going to reach a million people.
And I checked that out a little bit, and it seems like a pretty, a doable process right here in South Dakota. So many times we have these conversations and it turns out it's a cost prohibitive, or it's, maybe something that South Dakotans wouldn't necessarily go for. But this is definitely a South Dakota business program, and it is presented accordingly. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. You're welcome to come back anytime and talk about more of the book or other issues as you see fit. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori. What a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.